Welcome to the Citizen Spotlight, where we're going to sit down with a member of our church family to hear how the Lord has been at work in their life. I'm Stephen Simmons. I'm a pastor in training and the director of communications here at Citizens Church. Today, we're going to be sitting down with... Is it a helicopter or a drum roll? Unclear. Mia Blanton. Hey, welcome. That was a police siren or a helicopter. I don't know what a helicopter sounds like.
Me neither.
Hey, Mia.
Hey, Stephen. What's up?
Some pretty painful fluorescent lights. We're sitting here.
Yeah, they do kind of hurt my eyeballs, but...
Yeah. So we've never done this podcast before. This is a new endeavor starting in 2025. Hopefully, we'll be in a monthly cadence here. We'll see what happens. Citizen Spotlight, TM, patent pending. Just feel like an opportunity for, as our church continues to grow and it gets increasingly hard beyond, like, I know a name, I know a face, to really know the people in our church as we continue to grow, Lord willing. And so this podcast is an opportunity for us to just... spotlight random folks in our church, hear more about them and how they got around Citizens and how the Lord's been at work in their lives. Sometimes I will be talking with someone that this conversation is truly me really getting to know someone for the first time and like asking questions that I really don't know the answer to a lot of times with people. But in a lot of ways, this is kind of a unique situation because we've known each other for, I think, more than a decade at this point, maybe around a decade. I mean, 2015 feels like just about my first memory of meeting Mia Blanton was at the pizza joint on Forest Drive in Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh my gosh, we're going deep.
Yeah. So the pizza joint no longer exists. Rest in peace. It was the best pizza. Yeah. I think it actually exploded, sadly.
Oh.
And now it doesn't exist.
What were we doing at the pizza joint?
I remember that I was with my life group, which is what our previous church called community groups. I was with Joey Best and our very own Garrison Weiner. Joey is our own as well. I don't know why I said it like that. Joey, you're here when we love you. But Joey and Garrison, and then I think you came up with Maggie, and we're talking to Garrison, and because obviously I didn't know either of you, there was no acknowledgement, but that is my first conscious memory.
Well, first off, I apologize for not introducing myself.
That's okay.
And probably we were planning Boston spring break trip.
I will believe that.
Yeah.
That was my very first. It was our old church would send folks up to random major cities that were within a bus drive. And when I say a bus drive, that could literally be dozens of hours. Because I think for some people, it literally took 24 hours for them to get from Columbia to Boston.
Definitely double digits.
Yeah. And we do spring break trips and kind of serve the city over the course of a week. It was a lot of fun. It was a very college thing.
A very college thing. But that is how I met Garrison Weiner and a lot of Citizens core group folks. So
yeah,
Boston,
there you go. Thanks, Boston. Cool city, great harbor, a lot of tea in there.
A lot of American history.
Yeah, a lot of tea in Boston, if you know what I mean. Mia, why are you here? How'd you get involved with Citizens? What's the deal there? We were in Columbia. Why are you in Charlotte?
Why am I here? That's too existential. But
that's fair.
What am I doing at Charlotte, in Charlotte, at Citizens?
Yeah.
So I started coming around Midtown, which is our sending church in Columbia, South Carolina, in around 2014.
Yeah.
And I got pretty plugged in there and loved it. And then slowly but surely, if you had asked freshman year college Mia if she was going to stay in Columbia for a long time, the answer was no.
Of course not.
Of course not. I was going to go to get a master's for my social work degree in Chicago.
Whoa.
Shout out. I love Chicago.
The Windy City?
The Windy City.
Nice.
And I got plugged into Midtown, and Midtown does a really good job about investing where you are. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with Columbia.
Yeah.
And so I stayed there for almost 8-9 years, which is crazy to think about. And my senior year of college, Kent Bateman, shout out to another sending church
That's right.
through Midtown, talked to me about going to Knoxville. And that's kind of what started my thought of planning a church.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't ready. The Lord wasn't bringing me there. Knoxville is in my home state. And something about that, I was like, I don't want to go back to Tennessee, even though Tennessee is a wonderful place. But so that kind of got me praying about church planning and opportunities for the future. And then I heard mumblings that Midtown was starting another church plant in 2019.
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah, 2019. And I was intrigued. I kept it in the back of my head, and they announced that Tim was going to be the new pastor for Citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just really loved his teaching style. I actually really didn't know Tim or Lindsay that well. I remember meeting them through Citizens. So, like the first night in Columbia, I went over for them to like ask about Citizens and ask about my life. Mm-hmm. It was like one of the conversations of, oh, we really don't know each other. This is fun. And I remember bonding with Lindsay after one sermon Tim did of just being like, dang, that was so good and so relevant to my life.
Sure.
And her being like, yeah, most of the time I'm like, are you reading my journal? Because it's so good. So shout out to our pastor, Tim, for his skill of teaching.
Thanks,
and
Tim.
And then, yeah.
DJ TJ.
At that time, I was still praying through whether or not to join the church plant. And then mm-hmm. they announced that it was Charlotte. And I went to my life group, which, like you said, is community groups from in town. And I was like, y'all, I think the Lord is putting on my heart to move to Charlotte. And they were very gracious of being like, no.
Yeah,
but also like, yeah, but also like, wait, this makes sense for you, Mia.
Yeah.
So I asked for prayers and then here we are years later. So fun fact, me and Rachel Dupre were the last core group to move from Columbia to Charlotte.
Oh, wow. That would have been like, what, like May of 21?
When you moved? We were like June of 2021.
Okay. Yeah. Tail end. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been about a year apart. I got up here July 18th of 2020 was my move date. Just smack dab in the middle of COVID.
I had planned on moving as one of the first people, and then COVID happened.
Oh, yeah.
And
totally fair. Totally
I don't
fair.
Know if you've heard of this thing called COVID. It really ruined that year, you know? Just kidding.
Yeah.
But wrecked my life. Threw in some potholes. So I decided to wait a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you, Citizens pulled a lot of kind of culture and modeling off of the Midtown model. And one of those is a very family-centric model. You know, church is a family, talking a lot of that. Jesus-centered family on mission is a slogan that Midtown uses. It's a slogan that we use. It's a slogan that City Church, which Kent Bateman, that was the church in Knoxville that he planted, they use it. There's a beauty in having Jesus-centered family in that sense, that church really is a family. But then it makes the decision to then go to a new church in a new city both exciting because there's the prospect of a new family. We're building a new family. And that was a lot of our heart was like, we want Charlotte to have what Columbia has been blessed with through Midtown. But it also means saying goodbye to this family in Columbia. How often / do you miss or think about what would just Columbia Mia be doing right now? What would that life be like?
Oh, yeah. I think about that all the time. I love thinking that of even like mentioning earlier of freshman year Mia thinking that she was going to live in Chicago.
You got Chicago Mia, Columbia Mia, Knoxville Mia.
Knoxville Mia, Memphis Mia. I'm from Memphis. You know,
Blues
Charlotte
town.
Mia.
Yeah.
I love thinking about those types of things, especially just in the way of like how the Lord provides.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you asked little baby Mia or high school Mia, freshman Mia, whenever.
I'm going to say baby Mia is not going to be very productive.
Yeah. Baby Mia would not know anything.
She'd say goo goo.
She would be happy to be here.
Yeah.
Charlotte would never be on the roadmap. You know, like I would never, when I told my parents that I was moving from Columbia to Charlotte, their minds were blown because they were like, you love Columbia.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I really do. And the Lord is calling me to another city. So it is fun for me to be like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't know this blessing of the Lord, or I wouldn't know this part of my personality, or I wouldn't know these people, this community, if I hadn't moved to Charlotte.
Leaving the fame and the acclaim of being Columbia's best barista.
Say what? I know. It was too much
Look
for
it
me. It was too much for me. I had to get out.
That's real. That's real. The Best in State Awards, you got Columbia's Best Barista sitting right here.
Sitting right here.
Demand that she make you coffee next time you see her.
Do love making people coffee, so please demand it.
It won't only be rude. It will also be an honoring gesture.
Yeah,
it will be both.
Just say please.
Yeah. Please make me coffee now. And then she'll say, the sermon's about to start. And then you'll say, that's a great point. And then,
like, how do I even do it?
Yeah, this doesn't make any sense. I miss Columbia every single day.
Yeah.
And also the thought that follows right after that are the faces of the people here in Charlotte and the people that like I literally would not know and would not have life with were it not for that deeply painful but ultimately good decision to move and to say this chapter is for now, forever, only the Lord knows, like closing, and there's a new chapter here in Charlotte. So who are some of those people? What are the experiences or people or aspects of life in Charlotte, life at Citizens, that really come to your mind as the sort of like, yeah, I miss this past chapter. I miss these people. I miss that city. But there's so much beauty here now. And there's so much, the Lord has been so at work here.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I cheated because moving to a new city, typically you don't know anyone. Mm. But moving to Charlotte, I got to move with 30 close friends.
Sure.
And I definitely, the biggest worry when I was moving from Columbia was leaving my life group. I was really the only person in my friend group, life group, moving to Charlotte for a while. And yeah, I have some great female friendships in Columbia that I know if I called them at 3 a.m. even today, they would be like, what do you need? I'm on my way to Charlotte.
Yeah.
But the Lord is so kind in providing that in Charlotte as well. I was placed in the Dunn's community group right when I moved from Columbia to Charlotte. And I am probably their biggest fan. it probably, we should make a joke about me being a fan club, but it's too true. So it's like not joking.
So let's not joke, actually. Yeah, so
it's just like, obvious. It's just like me as the president of the Dunn's fan club.
Right.
No, but throughout, I mean, I have been in Charlotte since 2021 and I just started a different community group in this January of 2025.
Yeah.
So being in the same community and just working through life and just walking alongside them.
Mm-hmm.
What a hashtag blessed.
Yeah.
Ing.
Hashtag blessed ing.
Heard it here first.
Right. Yeah. Heard it here first and maybe for the last time.
Whoa.
Sorry.
I don't know. Copyright. Yeah. Copyright.
Right. We're going to make money off of blessed ing. Hashtag blessed ing is our new venture. Perfect.
Yeah.
The Dunns are great. I love them. I met them moving Tim and Lindsay into their home here in Charlotte. Is actually, well, I actually had known Drew in Columbia, but I met Steph through that. We built a couch together. It was a powerful moment there.
It is a powerful. Once you build furniture together. Once you
build furniture, yeah, bonded for life.
You know?
That's real.
Yeah, so shout out to the Dunns. Mm-hmm. They're probably really embarrassed because I love to speak about how wonderful they are.
Yeah.
And they became, I mean, such good friends. And then also Rachel Dupre. I don't know if you know this, but we're close. And I didn't know her before Citizens.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is wild to think about. We both moved from Columbia, but
sure.
Our lives never really interacted or overlapped. So
she's a treasure.
Yeah.
There's just some people that like certain people will make you laugh in a certain way that like no one else can, which is not a knock on other people. It's just like, there are certain people that just like, I'm only going to laugh in this way and have joy in this way with this person. And I think that she's one of the things there's a special level of riffing that I can have with Rachel that I really treasure.
Honestly, people, if you need a good time, put Rachel, Steven and Dan Alishishik in a room and
chaos,
you will laugh.
Until the fire department arrives. Yeah.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah.
To end the chaos.
Yeah.
That's right. When I think of you, I do the kind of one woman cheer squad, you know, and such an advocate of humans and people. Aww. I think is you. And the fact that you are such a friend to people, you have encouraged me and countless others, I'm sure, could line up to say how you have encouraged them and how you have blessed them. And what is incredible to me is that you bring that same presence to the world outside of the walls of Citizens as within Citizens. I think so often it is so tempting for me to really compartmentalize, who is Steven at Citizens? Okay, who is Steven at the grocery store? Who is Steven in his office at his full-time job outside of the church? Like who, and these different versions, but I've seen you in your setting at work. I've seen you here at Citizens, and like that Mia is consistent and your willingness to like talk about the things of God and Jesus and how the Lord is at work in your life. Like you do that at Citizens and you do that not just at work, but at work with people who on first glance would be openly hostile to what you have to say. And so that's something that I was curious about and just wanted to hear in your own words is like, How do you do that? Like how do you go about like get as detailed or general as you want about like the places you've worked and like who you work with and stuff? But it's like in your family life, in your work life, like there are people that would not be interested in the message of Jesus and are in some ways very actively running away from the message of Jesus. And so how do you think of, no, I can authentically be a lover of the Lord in their presence. I don't have to hide this about myself. I don't have to apologize for my faith. I don't have to put up these barriers and these walls that are very self-created, you know, as I engage in the secular world at large. Like, how do you go about that?
First, I want the audience to know I am weeping because of that very kind compliment from Stephen. Also, I definitely think the Lord has blessed me of just like my personality and spiritual gifting in this manner, but no one does it perfectly. So sure. I have had my fair share of road bumps. But I think for me, and it's really cool just to think about, man, how the Lord has shaped my life and my path and so many different things. We can go all the way back to when I was in high school. I really wanted to work with middle school students and be a middle school student ministry leader. And when I was applying to college, my parents were like, let's not go into the religious route. Let's do something more secular, just because they wanted me to have more options potentially down the road. And they really helped pay for college. So I was like, okay, that makes sense. So that's how I ended up in social work for my degree. And one of the biggest things about social work beliefs is every human has worth and dignity. And that's something that I have believed my entire life. However, I don't think I could have put that into words until I was in my social work degree. And everyone has worth and dignity because we are made in the image of the Lord. And so some people, if you don't believe in Christ in the way of, if you're a social worker, you can believe everyone has worth and dignity and it stops there. But for me, the gospel is always in the back of my mind with that of everyone deserves respect and to be seen and to be heard because they are made in the image of the Lord. And I think that that just has touched every part of my life of, I have worked in the service industry for years and have been around a lot of non-Christians. I have had to learn how to be bold about my faith, but the Lord has just created me of being able to see people. And so it's been really nice. Like, there are definitely times where someone says something and I'm like, oh, I should be bold in my faith and say something. And I just sin and I stay quiet because it's easy, fear of man. But anytime that I'm around people, it's like, oh, you have worth and dignity because you are made in the image of the Lord. I want to hear you. I want to hear your story. I want to get to know you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. There is a level of, we just had a sermon series about like the body of Christ and like the value and the giftings of different, like the hand and the ear and the foot. And there is a huge beauty to, you have just from your earliest memories been wired in this way to like see people in this way and to care for them in this way. And that especially equips you to be able to go out into the world and do that. Like, your social work background put words to how you have always felt of like, everyone has worth and dignity, which is obviously a very biblical idea. It's wired into us from our creator, who sees us as inherently valuable. But then that natural wiring and natural bent makes it so much easier for you to minister to your coworkers in a way that, can be a lot harder for other people. And that doesn't mean that, I'm not wired that way, so I don't have to engage with my coworkers, I think is the temptation of like, okay, great. I'll be really missional with my church friends and then very cordial with my work friends.
I think also it's beautiful because I have been a barista for so long and had been a barista for so long. And that's a lot of side to side work.
Yeah.
Whereas in more traditional work settings, that's a lot of front to front work. And it's just easier. Like, when you are behind bar, you're making drinks and you're just chatting with your coworkers, it is just easier of being able to get to know one another.
Totally.
Versus like, now I'm in good old Skip Town and we're remote and I talk to my coworkers, but I talk to my coworkers a lot about work, you know? So it is a different environment. So just even the blessing of being able to make like side by side work, you know?
Absolutely. And I've seen that your care and love for people and how that is both to your coworkers and also to, in a brief setting, customers, like the people that you are excited about, your coworkers get excited about. Like, I think it was a beautiful time. When you were working at Undercurrent in Plaza Midwood, there was this beautiful time when anytime I walked into Undercurrent, the whole staff of Undercurrent is like, it's Steven. And the only reason they're like that is because Mia is like, it's Steven. And aww, like, it's a culture setting, like your culture setting where you go, like there's a little aura of joy and viewing people as valuable and more than just a face, more than just an obstacle. Like, you see people and that radiates from you. And so, and that really is like the Lord at work in you. It is like infectious joy and fellowship that I think you fostered and was visible in Columbia, and it has followed you to bless the Queen City here. And that's huge.
That is huge. I also want to say the church has been a huge part of me learning on, we are all just broken sinners and cannot do anything perfectly. And through Midtown and Citizens specifically, of just reconciliation. And anytime someone sins against me, I am an over communicator and I want to talk about it. And I think that helps my relationships outside of the church as well, in the way of, oh, you didn't do something correct at work, or oh, you messed up something, or you said something not nice, or I don't even know. It's just easier for me to give grace because of the real relationships I've gone through, or not even gone through, I've just had in Midtown and Citizens.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some other ways that you have seen being a committed member of a local church body, namely Citizens Church, how has that really developed and shaped and grown your walk with the Lord and helped you be more like Jesus?
For sure. I don't know if we've talked about it enough. I love the Duns, but in a more serious manner of, I was blessed to be a part of a community group for 3.5 years together. And when you are walking and being friends with people for 3.5 years, you go through the highs, you go through the lows, and you hurt one another. You have to forgive one another. You have to ask for forgiveness. So just being in community is huge. And that's a lot of what Citizens folks who have been around will say too, of just the beauty of being known and loved.
Yeah.
Another thing is, I have done the Institute, and so the first 2 semesters and now in the 3rd one, it's been so good for just my flourishing in my walk with the Lord. I'm super excited because we're starting the 3rd semester in theology, and I think this one might be my favorite semester.
Heyo.
But don't hold me to it.
Yeah.
But no, especially the first one where we worked through biblical disciplines of just being part of a church body that so deeply cares about its members that they, especially Tim, wants to see us flourish and wants to see us having an everyday relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so carved out time and made this institute to equip us to do that.
Yeah. Just some quick rapid fire questions before we close out. How do you serve at Citizens, and why is where you serve the best place to serve?
I serve in City Kids and prayer team, and I lead a community group.
Whoa.
I think that's it, right?
Sure.
I don't know. I honestly love each aspect of it.
Yeah.
Community group leader. I'm very new. So we started this January. Shout out to Jordan Robinson, my co-leader.
Co-worker in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
The righteous work. Come on.
Amen.
Shoulder to shoulder.
City Kids is the best. I freaking love kids, especially preschool and up. So once
little
they
goblins.
Can like start communicating with you, I love it. Also, plug, I said it earlier, I love middle schoolers. I love high schoolers. So I cannot wait to watch our kids grow into that and then slowly help in those avenues as well. And then prayer team, let's go. You know, everyone needs some prayer, and it's just a joy for people. My favorite is when people I don't know that well come and ask for prayer.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those moments that it's like, just bonds you, you know? So, yeah.
Absolutely. If I was someone who has not been in a group before and I have little interest or feel like I don't have the time or bandwidth, why should I be in a group?
Oof. I mean, talk to me. You said rapid fire questions, so I just feel pressured to say something really succinct. But you know what? No, I think it goes into what I was saying earlier of just the depth of the relationships that come from being in a group, of being known and loved. It's really cool how we are focusing on application moving forward. So you just have a group of accountability partners to keep you walking with Christ every day.
Totally. Where's the best place to hang out in Charlotte?
Oh, for what's the vibe?
I just want to have a great chill hang with my best bud.
Gosh. Rachel and I and Steven and Dan go to Summit and Plaza a lot.
Oh, and Plaza.
Steven and Morgan, just so many people we always run into there. So if you ever want to run into Citizens people, Summit on Plaza. I do love Undercurrent. I was the shop manager there for 2 years, and so it always hold a special place in my heart.
Oh, yeah.
The best cocktail I've ever had in Charlotte, Jess Cromwell suggested it, and it's at Haberdish.
Haberdish.
And it was called Fancy Pants.
Nice. Did you feel fancy?
I felt so fancy. It was so good.
Hey, did you go to 60 Vines the other night?
No, we went to Rosemont.
Rosemont. Yeah. Okay.
And it was delicious. Okay. We had cocktails.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love it.
Love it.
Mia, this has been a delight. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for chatting.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad that you're in Charlotte.
What a time to be alive. Know,
you're a gift to this church.
Oh.
So thanks for listening. We'll be back in sometime in February with another conversation with another member. Who will it be? Genuinely, no one knows.
Mystery guest.
Yeah, mystery guest. Well, you know, I would be bummed if I had no idea who was walking through the door. But thanks for being a part of our church family. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.